Evening.
Evening.
And everyone welcome this July evening to our worship here at Christchurch. Pleased to invite Angus back to preach this evening. I'm grateful for him agreeing to preach. I somewhat delayed return from holiday. Getting back only last night, and thankfully I had planned for Angus to preach, and he agreed. He's doing his placement, as some of you know, down at Leith, and we're glad to have him with us. He's going to be preaching from Matthew 13, the opening part of that chapter, and we're going to be looking at that chapter over the next 3 or 4 weeks. The rules is just to say that, God willing, our services will be the usual times of 11 and 6 next week. Sunday, and then we meet for prayer on Wednesday at 7:30 here in the building. Also just to highlight that the Faith and Mission Edinburgh Convention begins today. It runs through to Friday, and the speakers there include Liam Gollacher and David Cook. The rest of the notices are all printed on the back on the little sheet, and you can pick up one at the end. These are all notices. I'm just going to hand over to you, and we look forward to your ministry amongst us this evening.
It is wonderful to be with you here again. I was glad to be here with you. I'm glad that you're able to hear me this week. Some of you were ears were a bit closed, so I'm glad that this week hopefully you will hear me loud and clear. David said, my name's Angus, and if you didn't hear last week, I'm a minister in training down with Ali Sewell in Haddington, and like James, I study and then work for the church. But it's a pleasure to be here. And if by chance you are new to church here, whether in person or online, it is great that you're here, and I'm sure David would love to get to know you, or I would love to speak to you after the service. But as we begin our time together, I'm just going to read a few verses from Psalm 63. In which we read in verses 1 to 4, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you, so I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. And so we will come to sing to God, and I would encourage you to stand if you're able. And we're going to be singing My Hope Is Built, and our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And so as if you're able, please stand as the introduction is played. pray to this God that we've just sung to, this God who is our rock. And Lord, we come to you, you who are the maker of heavens and earth. We are those who cry out to you, those people, your people, who proclaim your name, the one who know you as the God who is gracious, who abounds in steadfast love. And you, Lord, are the one that we can come to. You alone are the ones who have words of eternal life. Lord, you know us and you made us. Lord, you are the one who has made yourself known through your word and through your Son. Lord, we praise you for what you have done and who you are, and how you offer life to all who are here today. Lord, you love us and you care for us each moment. You long that we would rest on you alone. You long that we would place our trust where it is sure and would not be shaken. Lord, you are good and we can trust you. Help us, we ask. And Lord, we come to you because we do not live as you call us to. Lord, each of us in our own hearts are led astray by many things. We come to you as those who are weak, as those who are in need, who bring nothing in our hands, but simply cling to that rock of the who is Christ. Lord, we are those who need mercy and forgiveness, but yet you are the one who longs and loves to give us that abundant mercy, that steadfast faithfulness that you shower on us. Lord, help us as we look to live in this world and reflect your goodness. Help us as we long to reflect your glory. But Lord, help us when we feel that we fall short. Lord, would you help us not to lose sight of who you are, to be humble and contrite and tremble at your word, but to know that you are the God who is there to forgive and to welcome and to restore. And so, Lord, we praise you for that mercy. We praise you for that goodness. And Lord, how you hear us as we call to you. Lord, we thank you and we do not take it for granted that you hear us. But Lord, let none of us leave here today without getting a glimpse of who you are and what you have done for us. Help us as those who know you to then go on and proclaim you, to proclaim this God to all we meet. To sing of you in our hearts and to sing of you in the streets. Lord, would you go before us now, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And we're going to come again and we're going to sing a psalm. And we're going to sing Psalm 67 and to the tune of Golden Hill. And Psalm 67 is a wonderful mystery psalm about God shining his radiance on us so that the nations around us would see and come and know this God. And they might know the saving grace that we know. So let's stand after the introduction, and then we'll stand and we'll sing the psalm together.
The earth.
can take a seat. And we're going to come now, we're going to read from God's Word, and we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 13, as David said. So that's Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to be reading from verses 1 down to 23. So that's Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 23. So reading there from Matthew chapter 13, we read, "That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the lake. Great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, 'A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell among the path, and the birds came down and devoured them. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil, and they produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear.' Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' And he answered them, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, "You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what is sown along the path. As for what is sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown in good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. Amen. This is the word of God. And let us come now and pray again to our God, asking for his help. Lord, we come to you now and lift our voices from the depths. Lord, we come in the midst of fears and worries and troubles to the very God who hears our cries, to the God who comes to us and responds. Lord, for how could we stand if you recorded our sins against us? Yet forgiveness is with you. Lord, it is this hope that we come to you now. We look out on an unsteady world with its wars and its strife. There's so much need and difficulty. We ask, Lord, that you would bring peace where there is anger and conflict and only hurt. And Lord, we pray that you would bring life in the midst of death and destruction. Lord, would our weakness and our fears as we look out in the world only drive us to depend on you more, so that you would get the praise in our lives and you would get the glory and the honor, and that by your power at work in your people, that every nation, every human being would get to hear of your goodness, that, Lord, that you would empower your people to proclaim, to speak, to go out into this world and tell people that you are good, that you have sent your Son, and that there is life for them. And Lord, we trust that you would give us the strength to speak,
that you would give people the ears to hear, and Lord, that people would have that water so that it would grow up into abundant spiritual fruit in their lives, that many would call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Lord, protect your church, protect this church here. Would you help them, would you guard them, and would you give them the power of your Spirit as they seek to live for you in this area? Lord, help us to remember that that power that is at work within us, within your church, is greater than anything that is within the world that they could throw against us. And Lord, we know that one day you will renew this earth. You will make all things new. But until that day, Lord, help us to have joy, to have hope, and to be reassured in your love for us. Lord, help this country. Bless us. Lord, we pray for the many families who are going on holiday with schools closing, many in our church and many who are without the church, Lord. We pray that you would give rest, you would give families good time together. But Lord, in the weariness of the summer, Lord, would you give strength. And Lord, we pray for the world around us, many times not knowing what to pray, other than your will be done, Lord. Lord, we pray that your will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, that you would give us our daily bread. You would help us as we live in this world. Help us as we depend on you and as we long to see your return, as we long to see your kingdom come fully. But Lord, help us now as we come to a passage we may know well. Help us to have ears to hear. Lord, we pray and we long that no one here would have ears that were closed, but all would hear your word, all would receive it, all would rejoice, and all would have the increase. And it would all be to your glory. Lord, help us now. Help us on a tired, warm Sunday evening, Lord, to come and hear from you with the privilege that we have. Go before us now, Lord, as we come to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing on this same theme. We're going to sing once more to the song, the hymn, Speak, O Lord, that we would receive from God, that we would each year tonight receive the food from his holy word. So as the introduction comes, would you stand and would you sing?
Fulfill in us all your purposes.
come to this passage of the sower. Many of you will know it well, and I am someone who is from the Isle of Lewis, who grew up on a croft, and I could give you many stories, and I could illustrate you much about growing potatoes. And if you want to know about that, I'm sure you can find me after, or I can give you some tips, or show you some of my pictures from lockdown. But I don't think we struggle to understand the scattering of seeds and soil, and neither do the people listening to Jesus. But I think what we do need today is to understand what Jesus is saying in this parable. And why does it appear that he is not speaking plainly? And we need an answer to what does this parable mean? And actually, if I was going to use an illustration, I would probably use one about my niece. See, I have a wonderful niece. I also have a lovely nephew, but my niece is older and has great chat. But she's now 3. But listening is not her strong point. I mean, she's got many wonderful talents, many. And my walls are covered in pictures by her. But for her age, she's doing well at listening. But unfortunately, she's developed a strong will from her father, my brother. And he's paying the price for that now. But when she discovered words at age 2, she had 4 main responses. So you came to her and you told her to do something, especially her dad would come and say, come on, Flora, let's go and do this. And there was the first response was the straight no. No! And that was it. That was as far as you got. And you could try and change her opinion, but she was set in her ways. And her next favourite one was soon. And soon wasn't quite a no, but it was the polite way of saying no. I mean, it might happen later, but there's not much of a chance that it's going to happen. The third was a yes. And the yes was positive, but she might start, but often she got distracted either by something sweet, something shiny, or just by anything, and it would just drift. She would drift, and I mean, that was the end. And there was a rare fourth occurrence. The fourth occurrence was she would listen to you, she would hear, she would respond, and then she would do it. And you almost had to sit back and wonder, okay. And if you're wondering, that wasn't Ali's response to my year at Haddington, you know. But he had much better things to say, I'm sure. But at 2, these responses to her can be expected. But Jesus wants us to see, and he's wanting his followers to see, that there's many similarities to how people respond to the message of the gospel. And today we're going to look at those 4 responses to the good news of Jesus through this parable. And I hope that we'll see that far from a lesson on good practice for farming, the key point is Jesus is teaching the importance of listening to the word, and the blessing of hearing the word. And we're going to be looking at this in just 2 simple points. Firstly, why does Jesus speak in parables? And second, what does this parable mean for us? So the first one we're going to look at is, why does Jesus speak in parables? We will look later at the content, we'll look later at the soils, we'll look later at what is actually in the parable. But basically what the parable is, you have the parable, and then you have this bit that Jesus explains why he speaks in parables, and then Jesus will explain the parable. But first of all, we're going to look at why the parables. And if you're wondering what is a parable, and you don't know, it's just very simply a story that is used everyday common things to convey a spiritual message. See, Jesus speaks of seeds, but as we'll see, is a powerful point to make. And like I've said before, we may think we know this parable well, but Jesus ends this in verse 9 saying, he who has ears, let him hear. So let's pay attention to what he says. Because his own disciples come to him in verse 10 after what he's just said in his parable. And he says, and they come to him and they say, Jesus, why do you speak to them in parables? We saw that Jesus says in verse 3, and he told them many things in parables. And the disciples come to him because they're questioning, these people who are listening to Jesus, they don't seem to understand what you're saying. It appears the crowds do not actually have ears to hear. So why is Jesus choosing to speak in parables? Why say, he who has ears hear, when people don't seem to hear? They begin to question, Jesus, are you sure you've got the right track? Are you sure your preaching style is working out okay?
But the answer that Jesus gives is quite a shock to many who were listening, to his disciples, and to many of us here today. Jesus explains why he speaks like this in terms of fulfilled prophecy. See, he speaks to them because it was promised that he would speak this way. See, the very fact that this audience do not see, they do not hear, and they do not understand was promised long before. And has actually been fulfilled by them. We see this in verse 13. We see Jesus says, "This is why I speak to them in parables. Because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled." Jesus takes his disciples back to Isaiah chapter 6. This is verses 9 and 10 there, where you find that Isaiah is a man called by God. He's called to go and speak to the people of Israel on God's behalf. And this is a people who have, at this point in Israel's history, repeatedly refused to listen to God. God has time and time again sent to them messengers, sent to them people to hear. And time again, they've refused. And God tells Isaiah, before he goes out for this message, before he goes to speak on God's behalf, that the people are not going to listen. Many of them are going to reject him. That although they will hear the words that he actually speaks, they will not understand them fully. And ultimately, they will reject these words because they come from God. Jesus is saying they could not hear because it has been hidden from them. And because they have shut their eyes, you see. It says here, they shut their eyes. And in the few verses we have of this prophecy that is put in the book, you can in the Bible, you can see it. It is shaped differently. We get the words eyes, ears, and heart being repeated. It emphasizes the problem. They have a habit of seeing and hearing without appreciating what is being said. Because Isaiah is told that their hearts have grown dull. We see that in verse 15 of your passage here, that their hearts, which is their inner thinking and feeling, is described as having a dullness or a sluggishness towards truth. They're slow or fail to hear and act upon the truth. I mean, it's quite interesting because their ears are actually described as scarcely able to hear. It's like they've jammed cotton wool in their ears. But actually, yeah, maybe they need to go and see the guy you went to. But this is made even clearer with the eyes. It says they've closed their eyes. It's almost a stage worse than difficulty hearing because it's a choice. They've chosen to close their eyes. They're deliberately refusing to see the truth that is put in front of them. This is because they don't want to respond. We see this again. We see, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn to God. See, these people have their mind made up. The people of Israel and Isaiah, they have their mind made up so that when they hear the word of God and begin to think about it and begins to challenge them, they simply close themselves off to it. Because they don't want to understand. They don't want to hear it. The quote from Isaiah closes, "What would God want to offer them?" We see that God wanted to offer them who would turn, those who would listen. God says, "And turn, and I would heal them." They refuse because they don't want to hear. But if they would turn to God, he would heal them. But their rebellion and their refusal has caused their hearts to grow this way, so that they cannot and will not hear. And Isaiah, there are some who are faithful, there are some who do hear, but there's a judgment coming on these people who have already rejected and will continue to reject the word of God. And the more they hear the word of God, the almost more judgment that comes upon them, because the more they reject him. And this is what you see throughout the Old Testament. The people who should have known God reject him. The ones who had seen his miracles, the one who had seen all that he had done, refused to turn back and be healed, to refuse to receive the blessings from God.
And this despite God continually sending messengers. And what makes this quote from Isaiah so wonderful is later on we will read, if you continued through the book of Isaiah, that God was going to send someone. That although these people then would not listen, God was going to send someone. Someone who would come and change people's hearts. Who would take the punishment for rebellious people. But we're given a warning that Isaiah prophesied that the messenger himself would be rejected because he appeared weak and would be a suffering servant. But turning back to our passage, turning back to what we have here in Matthew verses 16, we read that God reveals this message to the disciples. God makes these disciples able to hear and able to understand. Jesus says to them, "To you it has been given." Jesus says to them, "To you it has been opened the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, to understand in parables." He uses the word secrets and mystery. It highlights that people could not see this. People could not look in. And they could not figure it out themselves. And this is the case for every human being, but this is what God says, that he has made this known to them. And Jesus is saying that if someone has not been made alive to know the basic truths of the kingdom, he will not understand these parables. They will maybe come away with a great story about how to go away and plant seeds. Avoid the concrete paths is always a good idea. But it is commitment to Jesus that listening to him and being willing to understand and having your eyes opened by him that will have someone able to understand this parable. And there's not anything special about these disciples. But actually, to them it has been given. And it's a huge privilege they received this gift. And later on in Matthew chapter 16, we will see Jesus confirming that Simon, like the other disciples, is blessed because God has revealed Jesus' identity to them. In Matthew 16, we read, and the crowds are unsure who Jesus is, but Jesus asks Peter, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Peter will understand that he is the Christ, the one who is sent to save his people. But looking back here, we see in verses 16 and 17 that Jesus tells his disciples that he is the one that the prophets of old spoke of. He is the one that the writers of the Old Testament longed to see. They long to know this, but actually something is being revealed to these disciples that they, these writers of the Old Testament, couldn't see. These disciples will continue to receive blessing from God because their eyes have been opened. And their eyes and their ears and theirs will be able to see and hear the good news about Jesus. And their hearts will understand. So, at this point, we're going to turn and look at what does this parable mean for us. We've seen why Jesus is speaking, both to hide and also to reveal. And on hearing this parable, you might be asking, what is the secret then for us to hear this parable? Is it that we'd be good and God will reveal his secrets to us? Is the point that we just need to be good soil, good people? Or something else here at play? Well, actually, it's really wonderful. Jesus just speaks the parable, and then he explains it. It's not such a mysterious thing. He actually will walk us through what each of these soils mean. He will walk us through, and if we have ears, and if we ask God, and we want him to speak to us, and God opens our eyes, we will see. In verse 18, we see Jesus says to his disciples, with, "Hear then the parable of the sower." He has said before, "He who has ears, let him hear." And he says to his disciples, "Hear then the parable of the sower." He tells them, "This is for you, this is for your hearing." So the parable may go over the ears of some, but to his disciples, they will hear. Jesus walks through the four soils of this parable, and he gave to the crowd, and which are four possible responses to the good news about Jesus. And begins first with verse 19, and that is the ones who, anyone hears the word of God and does not understand it. When anyone hears the word of God, word of the kingdom, and does not understand it. And this is the first soil we see that the careless hearer, this person hears what is said, they hear the word of God, they hear the word of the kingdom, but they do not understand it. This is someone who hears a parable, but does not perceive the spiritual truth of the days. They know something is important here, but actively choose not to hear it. Or when they begin to think about it, when they begin to think about these things, they hear, maybe you were listening this morning, and you thought, that was something interesting. Before you've even gone out the door, something just takes it straight out of your mind. We hear that there's the evil one. We are told the evil one becomes active when the word is preached. When they begin to think about it, someone comes in, the devil comes in, we're told, and snatches it, he tears it out of their heart. So that as the kingdom advances, so advances the kingdom of darkness to counter it. This is not someone who's hostile to the message. This is not someone who's against the message. Probably plenty of people who sit through many Sunday mornings. They know that there's something spiritually truthful in it. But since they do not act upon it, they soon find what was heard was lost. It's soon forgotten. It's so easy to find yourself interested in Jesus. And even Christian things, and even move for a moment in a sermon or when we're singing one of the great hymns, and think, I should do something about this. I should respond. But they fail to do anything about it. And what they find is they end up with a total loss. They quickly hear, and they quickly forget. The next group we see is a shallow soil. It's the one who is sown on the rocky places. And this is a person who receives the word straight away. Someone, they do it with joy. They're delighted. They come with enthusiasm. But unfortunately, as we'll see, this joy and enthusiasm will not last. Jesus says there's little soil here. And so they can't develop roots. And if you know anything about plants, roots help. Otherwise, a wee little gust just blows it over. Or a hot Middle Eastern day comes along and they can't reach the water that they need. And Jesus is telling us that this is a time of testing, a time that will surely come for all believers. Sooner or later, even as enthusiastic as you are, something will come where you will find hardship in your life. As those who are part of God's kingdom, you will face persecution or face sickness or something that comes. And that initial joy won't carry. The initial joy will fade. And without having roots that go deep, the message is lost. And we see here that this person takes offense then. He takes offense because of the trials that come, because he has no roots. He begins to regard following Jesus as something of a trap. They were maybe given a lovely evangelistic message of come, follow Jesus, everything will be great. Or maybe they heard something and they're like, this sounds like a wonderful adventure. Maybe they heard David's sermon in the morning and they thought, oh, this sounds great. And then I come along and they're like, maybe not. But this is... This means of persecution. This isn't what I signed up for. I'm here for something wonderful. And they decide to say, actually, I don't want anything to do with this. And then we're given a third soil. We see this is a congested soil. This is something with weeds. You see, a plant that doesn't take root, begins to grow well. It has depth of soil. But there's something else. We see that around it in verse 22, this one is sown among the thorns. He's not a rejecter. He's not someone who's shallowly enthusiastic. Someone really listens to the word. But with all his attention to the word, he's also caught up with the affairs of life. It's like he has one ear to the word of God and one ear to the news. Jesus highlights two things that preoccupy him. The worry of the world. This is everyday life. This is all the difficulties that every Christian faces of waking up in the morning with kids or with life and with going to a job and just dealing with all that comes with chores and shopping and cooking and cleaning and all the texts and the emails that come your way. There's always more to do. Always something else to worry about. Our to-do lists and our minds are overflowing. Even when we're organized and planned, something else could be just around the corner. It's possible to be so taken up with thinking about all the threats and opportunities of life. When we receive the word of God, it doesn't get sufficient attention. I know this is true even in my own heart. I'll be sitting there to open the Bible, you know, in the morning or in the evening, and I better just check something on my phone. So easy. It's these worldly concerns come in and they choke our ability to hear the word of God. Our life can only hold so many things. And Jesus here is referring to a life that is so full of worry that it doesn't have time for a serious concern or attention to the word of God. It's not to say that the cares of the world are wrong, but those that take up our time, that seem to wrestle around us, they consume our energy, leaving us less and less room for God. It's that simple thing where we feel that we have something to do. You get down to pray and instantly I can somehow manage to plan out my entire calendar for the month. Something I can't do any other time, but I get down to pray and my mind's gone. I get overwhelmed. But yet, if I'd come and I'd considered who God is, his care for me, his love for me, if I'd stopped to think about his promises, actually, I would be able to deal with that when it comes. But instead, I get so worried about dealing with that, I forget about God and his promises. And from there, Jesus goes on to look at another weed. As Jesus puts it, the deceitfulness of riches. So maybe to you, you think that actually if you were absolutely loaded, you'd be free from worry. How many of us thought if actually someone came along and just gave me, if some distant auntie passed away and left us a million in a will, actually that would be, we would be set for life. We'd never have to worry about a bill again. But yet for anyone who's had a little bit of money, it also brings its own problems. There's a problem of holding on to it. There's always someone who's happy to liberate it from you. Whether it's the government, or whether it's the collection at church, or whether it's something. Someone's always happy to take some of that money. And what do I spend it on? Actually, I no longer have to go down to Primark. I could maybe go up to John Lewis. But then, what do I buy? And yet there's always something newer. There's always something better. Actually, if you go and see the lives of people who are rich, they're not free from worry. If anything, they're more consumed with worry. But for us all, I mean, even if you have very little, you can get caught in the treadmill of only I have this much. I just need to focus on earning and get to this place, and you get caught in a treadmill. It doesn't matter if you have a million or 10 pounds. The point is here that these plants were sturdy. They were rooted in the word of God. But with a longer time contemplating God's truth and considering and understanding the word of God, the cares of the world come in. And money begins to overtake and crowd out and choke the word, making a competition for this nourishment of the soil. And these thorny plants grow up, and if they're not dealt with, they become even harder. If you've ever been in a garden, you'll see a little weed is easy to pull out. You let the rain come and a little sunshine come, and before you know it, you're eating a spade. We become complacent with it. And this is one of the things. This isn't massive deals. This isn't the things that are outside of us. This is just normal life. Jesus is saying the cares of the world and money. We all have to deal with money. But Jesus is warning that actually these things can come in. And then he goes on to talk about the fourth soil, the fruitful soil. We see these seeds that fall on this really wonderful good soil. Good seed falls into good soil and it bears a good crop. And this crop varies, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. This is just 30 times or 100 times. It's an extraordinary crop. This is abundant growth. This is the language of bearing a crop continually, again and again. This is not a careless person, or someone who's distracted by other concerns, or someone who lets weeds grow. This is someone who receives the seed. And this is someone, Jesus invites his hearers to think through what he said. It is about the person who receives the seed. The seed is the word of God. It is not about the seed, it is the one who receives it. And hearing what Jesus says is a responsibility that is easily overlooked. You may have heard 100 sermons. You may have read through the Bible many times. But each time we hear and we listen, there is a responsibility not to take it lightly, and to open our heart and act upon it. But what we see here is someone who has. When you hear great words like repent and believe, they're serious. But it's always easy just to chuck them away and go about our busy Monday morning. What we see is someone who hears, someone who listens, someone who takes in what is said and thinks about it, and maybe speaks to others about it. It has an effect on their life. It flows outward. This is abundance of crop. Not everyone will produce the same amount. It doesn't about each person, but actually that there will be fruit. There will be growth. But actually, for all of us, our lives at times will often reflect the first three soils. There's many times where we will all struggle. But Jesus is saying you can't remain there. A Christian must and will bear fruit. We must come back to listening. We must dig up those weeds. We must give an opportunity for the Word of God to sink down deep into our hearts. And ask God, each time as we come to his word, God, help me to hear. May your word go down deep. And as we sung, speak, O Lord. Lord, would I hear of you? God delights to reveal himself. We see even that with Isaiah. God sends messengers, keeps sending people, even to those who do not really want to hear. Even the people we think, maybe they'll never listen. But ultimately, it comes down to there's two kinds of ground. There's that which holds fast the word and bears fruit. And there's ultimately that which will reject Jesus. We're not promised that it'll be that we'll see many, many hundreds of people come to faith as we speak of Jesus. But there will be fruit in your lives. Your lives will continue to grow as you reflect who God is. God will continue to make you more like himself in kindness and peace and long-suffering. But for all of us here, like with my niece, when you ask her to do something, when God comes to us, we can say no. We can say maybe, which ends up as a no. We can say yes and get distracted by all that is going on around us. Keep pursuing to hear his voice above all else. And those things fight and they try and compete for your time. And they will, and that's natural of living in this world. You have to fight to hear from God as he speaks to us. The Christian life will bring pressure. As we saw that in the second soil, it's not something that happens just to weak people. All of us will face that pressure. We will stand, though. This isn't a be afraid passage. We will bear fruit If you hear from God, it may not be that you bear this abundance and do everything that you can see outwardly, but you will bear fruit. Because God has done it, and God will do it in your heart. Our call is to respond. Our God is to help cultivate that soil, to allow God to come in. If he has opened your eyes for us to hear. And if we doubt the fruit to response to Jesus, if we doubt that people are hearing us, if we doubt that as we go and then speak to others, look to Isaiah. Faithful ministry for him was to be rejected by almost everybody he spoke to. Look to Jesus. Actually, what was it to bear fruit in his life? Well, actually, he was rejected. These people didn't listen to him as he said, as was promised. Even there were some crowds who praised him. Some of these crowds would say, "Wow, the Messiah's come." And the next day they'd be like, "Crucify him. I don't want him." And there was Judas, who bore much fruit, but yet sold out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He'd rather have the money. And I hope as you get to spend time looking through this bit of Matthew, through these parables, and go through chapter 13, you'll see that Jesus didn't look impressive, nor will those who are part of his kingdom. We'll see that his kingdom is here, but it's not complete. And if you're not a Christian, if you haven't responded to the word of God, I'm glad whatever brought you to church. I'm glad that you're still listening. But if you long, if you begin to hear God speak to you, I would warn you, and I'd long for you to not put that away. If God speaks to you when you hear the word of God being read or someone preaching, it is a wonderful thing. Take time, think about it, speak to someone, come and talk to someone and say, there was something in that. All I can do is point you to Jesus. But actually, for you to be able to see this, it comes from God. And if you do see, that is a gift. And in short, we see that the Father is the one who makes the soil good. But when you do hear, you have a choice in how you respond. And for us, let us come and pray and ask. And not just tonight, but every night. Every morning as you open your Bible, every sermon that you come to hear, that you, yourself, all of us would hear. We would hear from God, and God would help us to respond to him. And if you feel that the weight of the world is closing in around you, that these weeds are enslaving you, ask for his help. Ask for God to help you to focus. And if you long for someone to hear, pray and ask God, "God, open their eyes. Help me to speak, but Lord, help them to see and to hear." And we can have confidence as we go out. We can have confidence as we go. And actually, we're going to come and sing a wonderful, powerful hymn as we close of "I heard the voice of Jesus say." But let us come and let us pray and ask God for his help. Lord, we thank you that you are good. And Lord, that even though we do not deserve it, you come and you speak to us. You come and you send people into our lives. Lord, we can look back even over our own lives and see the people that you have put before us who told us of your goodness. Whether that was in Sunday school, whether that was via a friend, whether it was from a grandparent. Lord, that you sent people to speak. Lord, we thank you most of all that you sent your Son into this world to speak of you, also to change our hearts, Lord, to open our ears, Lord, to take away the deceitfulness of sin from our lives so that we could turn to you. But Lord, we are weak and we are frail and we get tired. Lord, help us in our lives. Help us as we long to hear your voice. Help us to set time aside to do that. And Lord, even right now, let us come and let us ask you, Lord, speak to me.
Lord, would I hear your voice? And so, Lord, go with us now. Be with us. Help us and encourage us, we ask. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So we're now going to come and we're going to sing, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. And that's what Jesus says to us all. Jesus says, come to me. And let us come to Jesus. Let us come and find our rest in him. Let's sing as we hear the introduction we play.
Majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
And thank you for coming. We are glad that you are here. I'm especially glad to be here, and I'm pretty sure I'm not here next Sunday. Last week I made the mistake of forgetting, and I had a number of, good job you weren't here, David, I had a number of paranoid people who came up and like, you do remember, are you here next week? But it is a privilege, and it is a pleasure to be here, and I am glad to be able to come and to enjoy fellowship with you, to enjoy this time. But I do pray that God would bless you as a congregation, that God would continue to shine on you, and that you all would be blessed by the ministry of David and James and all the elders here. And it is wonderful to see what God is doing. And I'm greatly encouraged. And Ali always asks when I go back how you are doing. And it is a privilege. So may God bless you, and thanks for having me.